Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two of our broadcast. If you'd like to join the conversation, Eagles Advantage talk line number 800-928-1110. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line 71307. Quickly get to some of your calls, but also share with you something that has really been well received. Post this on social media on a number of social media pages that I'm connected with, and the response has been, frankly, extraordinary. And I noticed a number of people have shared this. We will post this on the 106.3 WORD Facebook page. It's already posted on the WBT Facebook page. Let's go out to John. Welcome. John, are you there? Going once. Going twice. I believe John has disappeared. If only he'd held on just a little bit longer. Just a little bit longer. I want to go into this post because this is absolutely vital for us to understand. It's a piece by Rob Myers. And it's called "There's a Way to Stop Mass Shootings and You Won't Like It." We actually have John back with us. Let's take this call from John before we go into details about this. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vince. I just wanted to make a quick comment concerning the comments your previous caller made about banning a particular type of rifle. They can ban it, but the thing is, you know, bad guys, they're gonna come up with something. They're just gonna find another weapon to use. I mean, if you switch to a shotgun, a double-aught buckshot is 9.31 caliber slugs in it. You know. You can produce as much firepower with a different weapon. Banning one particular rifle is not going to make them disappear. There's handguns that hold up to 18 rounds. Given a crowded, suburban-type situation like that, it almost doesn't matter what type of weapon. What counts is the amount of rounds that can be put out in a given amount of time.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to be shot with anything.
No. Who does? I'm just saying that I think bad guys, you know, if the ARs are banned, they're going to switch to a different type of weapon.
And if they're lawless, they might find a way to get it anyway.
Exactly. But on the other hand, as a gun owner, a longtime gun owner, I have no problem with some of the laws being adjusted. In one particular, maybe they should switch the age to buy a long gun, which would be a rifle or shotgun, from 18 to 21. Maybe that would have helped prevent this. My personal feelings, most 18-year-olds are a little too stupid to own a gun anyway, most part.
Hey, let's talk about this a moment, though, John. Was this a concern of ours 30 years ago?
No, I don't think so. Yeah.
Why not?
Here, I grew up in a town where the guys come to school with their shotguns in their truck during hunting season. Nobody settled it with a gun.
Yep. Isn't that interesting? This ought to tell us everything we need to know, shouldn't it?
Yes.
This is not about the weapon. It's not the weapons that are so much changed. It's us, isn't it?
It is. I raised four sons. They're all in the, let's say, 30-year age right now. One was through the military. Three weren't. A lot of spoiled kids out there. A lot of kids with no direction. A lot of kids just sat on the sofa while two parents, work two careers and play video games. I mean, look at the movies. Look at the violence on the movies. Look at the video games. I think it all boils down to there's a real lack of concern for God, family, and country. And your kids are just getting raised haphazardly, and too much free time. And again, the mental illness thing is an issue. I do know they talk about background checks, Mecklenburg County. If you go to buy a permit to buy a firearm, they do background checks. It takes up to 90 days to get it back, and they run it through the both the hospital systems. Maybe that needs to be nationalized. There's some answers out there, but you know, immediately everybody wants to jump on the gun itself, and you know, I wholeheartedly agree that, you know, hate to use the cliche, you know, people kill, you know, it's the guns that they're using as the avenue to do that, and I just think you can ban certain things, but there's too many around. They're not going to disappear.
Yep, you're absolutely right about that, John. Another John waiting on the line as well. Good morning. Welcome, sir.
Good morning, Vince. Yeah, I keep hearing this repeatedly. People point to technology, you know, as the advancement in weaponry, but doesn't that hold true back, you know, to the days of the musket and the rifle and that progression?
But, many generations of changes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's just another diversion for them to get us to look at, you know, anything but the real problem. And there's evidence of gun control going back to, you know, very easily looked up online for the 1700s. 1994, Joseph Biden introduced a gun law for schools, signed into law by George H. Bush. 1994, Bill Clinton then amended or added two. Anyway, my point is laws are failure as society changes. You know, it's not too hard to, you know, everybody wants to have a conversation because that makes everybody feel good as well. To simply, you know, look, society's changed and guns have changed also. But, you know, 20 years ago, we weren't having people walking into schools shooting guns or driving cars into people. You know, it's obvious that the problem is people, not guns. But
yep,
I mean, it just breaks my heart to.
It is heartbreaking
to see all this effort being put forward, and really, it's not to, you know, again. And the other part too, I don't want to be long winded, but everybody always looks to the federal government to fix everything or to mask it. But you know, the local government has every right and ability to, you know, create ordinances. And so does the state to create laws to regulate these guns, but they're not willing to do it either.
Yep, you're absolutely right. Appreciate your call there, John. And hey, since we're on a roll here, may as well hear from Jerry before we go to break. You got about 30 seconds here, Jerry.
That's fine, Vince. I feel really sorry for you having to put up with this. I'm a veteran. I had an M16 when I was in service. I had an M911A145 pistol. I'm well trained on both those weapons. And they're my favorite weapons. And, you know, you cannot fix stupid. Kathy, a few minutes ago, did not seem to grasp the concept that the Second Amendment is not actually put into place, you know, for us to protect ourselves from other things. But George Washington wrote it himself, that it is actually in place to protect us from a tyrannical government that tried to take over.
Yep. And this is a greater danger now than it's ever been. Let me start off Rob Meyer's article. There's a way to stop mass shootings. You won't like it. That's right. You're not going to like it because it's going to require you to do something personally as opposed to shouting for the government or anyone to do something. You ready? Here it is. Notice those around you who seem isolated and engage them. All right, I'm going to rant about this. I'm watching CNN in the background here. The sound, of course, is not up. CNN source, shooter had obtained at least 10 rifles. And the other one, you know, this couple that took this kid in, it's not their child. You probably knew this. I mean, the boy already lost his mother, lost his father. And they were saying, this couple knew he had guns. Really? I mean, they're trying to throw this couple under the bus. They really are. How many of these nitwits at CNN would take a stranger into their homes? How many of them? I dare say most of them would never do it. I feel bad for these. You know, this is the very thing that we encourage people to do in a similar situation, isn't it? Somebody's essentially an orphan. I mean, granted, kid's much older, but still, It's a kid. And I think those of us who are parents, we understand this. I think we have a greater understanding of our immaturity at 18 and 19 than we did when we were 18 and 19. John is agreeing with that. And you should agree with that, John. And sometimes that immaturity extends well beyond 18 and 19, John.
What?
I'm just messing with you. So I started sharing this, and we'll get back to more of your calls in a bit, but I absolutely want to go into this because I know this will prompt some conversation because this goes into broader issues than just school shootings. This is society in general. Before I even finish this, Mark put this into my never nicotine-stained fingers. Hungary's prime minister says Christianity is Europe's last hope and that politicians in Brussels, Berlin, and Paris favoring migration have opened the way to the decline of Christian culture and the advance of Islam. Viktor Orban said on Sunday during his 20th annual State of the Nation speech, his government will oppose efforts by the United Nations or the European Union to make migration acceptable to the world. He conjured the image of a Western Europe overtaken by Muslims, saying that born Christians are being forced back from most large German cities, as migrants always occupy big cities first. Orban claimed that Islam would soon knock on Central Europe's door from the West as well as the South. By the way, Orban is going to seek a third consecutive term in an April election. What's he saying here? And I think here's something I would say if I had a conversation with Mr. Orban. Part of this, you know, and as it relates to the church has to recover its savor because that's what's missing. You know, it's great for us to talk about Christianity being the last hope, but it has to be practice. It has to be lived out. It's not just a slogan or a set of theological ideas. So Rob Myers says, here's the real way to stop mass shootings. Notice those around you who seem isolated and engage them. Doesn't have anything to do with guns, does it? Or background checks? Or mental health? Here's what he says. If every one of us did this, we'd have a culture that was deeply committed to ensuring no one was left lonely. And make no mistake, as I've written before, loneliness is what causes these shooters to lash out. People with solid connections to other people don't indiscriminately fire guns at strangers. I know what you're thinking. That's never going to work because no one's going to make the effort to connect with a strange kid sitting by himself at lunch each day. No one's going to reach out to the gawky, awkward guy at work and ask him about his weekend. You're probably right, and that is an absolute shame. Because I can tell you, the things that aren't going to work in this country when it comes to stopping these heinous acts, they seem to be all anyone says. When, inevitably, another person comes forward to inflict their tortured pain on innocent people. 1. Ban all guns. Due to the reading of the Second Amendment and the precedents established by recent Supreme Court cases, this isn't going anywhere. You need an amendment to the Constitution. There will never be 30-plus states willing to overturn it. Never mind the multitude of good reasons for its existence. No amount of outrage will overturn it. So let's just stop. 2. Ban all guns. Part 2. Assuming you actually could overturn the second and outlaw every firearm in the country, then you'd have to go out and get them. Famously, there are more guns than people in the U.S. You couldn't come close to collecting them all. Further, if prohibition and the war on drugs have taught us anything, it's that those intent on breaking the law are going to do just that. Laws be damned. 3. Ban scary guns like the AR-15. Fully auto weapons are already banned. Most of these shootings occur with, guess what, a handgun, plain and simple. And these aren't going anywhere. Murder is illegal. Doesn't seem to stop these individuals from performing these atrocious acts. Do you think there was a ban on shotguns that would stop them? 4. Keep them out of the hands of bad people. Felons are prohibited from owning a firearm already. But let's not forget, the overwhelming majority of those mass shootings aren't done by criminals and their guns were obtained legally. How can you know who's going to do something like this? You can't. 5. Do something about mental health. Cool, yeah. So, like, free psychologist visits for everyone, even if you could. The people that have done this haven't been mentally ill, by and large. Let's not forget, medical records are private. Would you endorse mandatory psych screening for everyone and those records being sent to the government? Maybe just those who wish to own a gun. Remember, not every person who's engaged in a mass shooting has owned the gun before they performed the act. This is a complete non-starter of an issue with an insane price tag that does nothing to actually keep a person committed to violence from putting their hands on a gun. And six, I love this one. Do something. Gotcha. What do you want to do? Something. Okay, what do you have in mind? I don't know, but somebody needs to do something. Sure, agreed, but what? Even Obama has had to say in his latest speech how routine it's become. If you can't tell by this point in the list, there is nothing, nothing the government or any other organization can do to prevent these events. You cannot effectively keep drugs out of the hands of those intent on doing drugs. You can't keep beer out of the hands of high schoolers intent on getting beer. You have a huge supply of weapons everywhere and concrete federal law protecting those weapons. You'd have as much luck passing regulation against tornadoes. It would be equally as effective. So there it is. The God's honest truth. No entity can do anything meaningful more than is presently being done now to thwart a disaffected person who's hell-bent on committing such an act. But you can. You can talk to your coworker for a few minutes. You can talk to the kid in your physics class that appears to be all alone. You can teach your children to do the same, to make sure no one is left to feel totally isolated, because that's the breeding ground. That's where the seeds are planted. Community is easy to take for granted. Most of us have strong family connections and healthy friendships. Most feel as though they're part of a group, be it community, religious, or work-related. But it's increasingly easy for people on the edges to withdraw, and it's easy for us to forget them. No, it's comfortable to forget them. It's preferred to forget them. It's highly desired to forget them. And we have to change that. Holding a sign isn't going to do anything. Writing your congressman will do even less. But you can do something today, this week, this month. The people you engage may not become lifelong friends, and they don't need to be, but it could be enough to keep someone away from the darkness and isolation needed to eventually think lashing out is an effective strategy for dealing with their pain. Awesome, awesome piece here by Rob Myers. Again, check it out on the WBT Facebook page or the 106.3 WRD Facebook page, and I welcome your thoughts. Call us. Tell us what you think. 71307, the text line. So what you think of this? A way to stop mass shootings. Great column here by Rob Myers. And again, I would encourage you to please do something for me. Read that today. And if you want to share something, this is something unique you can put on your social media, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is. Share this. Go to the WBT page or the 106.3 WORD page on Facebook. Read this article. Share it. It'll spark some interesting conversation. It's unlike most of the dialogue that's taking place with the same stuff over and over and over again. Because, again, what do we keep coming back to? What's changed? It's us. It's people. Now, I happen to, and I don't know if I've shared this before, and we will quickly get to calls here. But I'm of the school that, you know, people talk about Romans, the book of Romans, Romans 1, talking about this is what the course of human nature, and it is. I happen to believe that applies to societies and cultures and civilizations. I think if you look at societies that have collapsed, that book of Romans is a description of what's happened, probably in every case. And I think that's the same thing that's happening here. What does it begin with? It begins with people who do not want to retain God in their thinking. That's the starting place. It's all downhill from there. Let me quickly share a couple of things with you before we go to your calls. These are responses to this column that I shared with you. My friend Daniel said this. Many people want to use fear to keep others' behavior in line, or they blame the tools, drugs, guns, alcohol, etc. that they use and want to ban them. The issue with using fear and banning guns is that it never changes the heart of the person. Fear is controlling, but love will change people. More specifically, God's love will change people. Fear that is used to control or manipulate people is evil. We overcome evil with good, not more evil. You can do something. Reach out to those around you, love them, enter into their lives, suffer with them. Remember four things. 1, good overcomes evil. 2, people can't be forced. 3, it rains on the just and unjust. And 4, there's no greater love than to lay down your life for a friend. I have a contrary view that I will share before we go to calls, and it's from a former coworker. If I told you his first name, you'll know who it is right away. But here's what he said. I can bet you will figure out where he's coming from. I respectfully disagree with you, Vince. No other developed country in the world has the level of gun violence and mass shootings as we have. The reason, plain and simple, is our country, unlike the others, is flooded with guns. We grew up as a pioneer country, but the attacks from the Native Americans from whom we stole this continent are long since past. This is not, or at least shouldn't be, the Wild West anymore. But it still is, in large part because of the multitude of guns. Sadly, it may be too late for this country to do very much about it. Millions upon millions of guns are already in homes and cars and hidden in pockets of gun lovers all over the country. It will take a long, long time for their owners to realize most people really don't need them. I will readily agree that some who live in dangerous neighborhoods or are in danger of being robbed or attacked do. Buck, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast.
How you doing, buddy?
All right, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to call. I really think we're talking about the results of the bigger problem is the dissolution of the family.
Yep.
I went through high school, hate to say it, but it's been 40 years ago. And in my class, we had maybe two students, this is no joke, that they had divorced parents. Everybody's parents were pretty much married. And divorce was really kind of frowned on. We all went to church. There in our school, at high school, every morning we started off with devotions. And, you know, one of the biggest things at our school was to be tapped for the National Honor Society. And, again, everybody had two parents. They didn't have baby daddies or baby mamas.
Gosh.
They had parents. There's a lot of difference between the two.
Yep.
And the first thing people are going to say is Buck, you're racist. But I'm not. Anytime you speak the truth,
that didn't have anything to do with race.
They want to shout you down saying that you're racist. And that's right out of the Democrat playbook. But to make a long story short, it's the dissolution of the family. There are no family values. And I really believe, and it's not one of these conspiracy theories, that the government condones it and is behind it.
Yep.
Because they have made so many social programs out there that you do not need the two incomes of a family unit. Again, it used to be, you know, the mother and the father both needed to work, you know, to support a family. And you had that family unit. And you had a father at home. You had a mother at home. And they cared about where you were at 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, 13 and 14-year-olds out at 2 o'clock in the morning wreaking havoc, doing who knows what, and it goes on everywhere. Back then, if you got in trouble at school, Vince, you better not let your parents find out about it, because that's when the trouble really started. You know what I mean?
And, yes, I do.
And seriously, all these government programs have gotten people in the mindset that they are owed, that their entitlements, and that they don't need to have a father around to raise the children.
Yep, fathers
they
have
say, let daddy government be your daddy.
Yep.
and give you money, get you a housing, give you food stamps. You don't need to have a father around.
Yep.
And that thinking is what has put us in the shape that we're in. And the reason for that is the Democrats who love entitlement programs is because basically what they're doing is buying votes. Is if you do what Big Daddy here tells you to do, guess what? We are going to take care of you. We're going to keep you in housing. We're going to keep you in all the different social programs, but and, you have to vote for it.
And the bottom line is, Buck, we will keep you poor. I mean, that's something you cannot forget about this in this. Thanks for your call, Buck, out of Salisbury this morning. We will keep you poor. Matt out of Hickory Grove has a great idea here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for your patience.
People, whenever something like this happens, people want to talk about banning guns, but if bans work so well, we should ban the flu, because the last I heard, over 100 kids died in North Carolina and 100-plus kids died in South Carolina just in the last few weeks or month or so. So if bans work, maybe we should ban the flu.
Really effective, wouldn't you say there, Matt? Hey, I appreciate your call. And again, providing perspective here. And this is not to diminish 17 lives snuffed out last week. It's not at all to do that. But this is one of the things, I think what he just said also points out how we lose context incredibly. Tony, you got about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, I would just like to say this ain't the last one. I'm telling you, it's going to continue, and it's going to continue, and it's going to continue. And it's going to continue because America is not America anymore. People fail to realize that America is not the land, it's the people. The people are America.
Mm.
And as long as you continue to elect people that does not have America first, but they have their political parties first, then this is what you're going to get.
Yep. And again, it has to come back to us. I mean, we can talk about politicians all day, but let's look in the mirror. Are we the same people we were 30 years ago, 40 years ago? In terms of our overall society, its values, its principles, what really keeps the country together, these things have been eroding. How do we figure out the way to get back where we belong? 49 minutes after 11 o'clock, the Vince Coakley radio program over on the text line, 71307. This is a generation that eats Tide Pods and don't know which bathroom to use. It's not a gun problem. Getting back to where we belong. Vince, those are the words liberals feast on. Backwards, it needs some explaining to navigate liberals' smoke and mirrors. That's from Tim in Hamilton Park. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is where that word progressive comes in. Vince wants to take us back to the days of Ozzie and Harriet. Why would you want to go back to those days anyway, Vince? Back when you people couldn't even drink out of water fountains. I've heard it, folks. Seriously, this is the way a lot of these folks think. Ban the cell phone. Make people speak to each other instead of a buried head at a phone screen. I was just thinking this the other day. I was at the airport. And, I wonder, what were we doing like 15, 20 years ago at the airport? You run into somebody. You talk to somebody. And I was just watching, just looking around. Everybody had their head in a screen. It was just weird. How does the government take care of people? They provide welfare for the unwed single women and prison for the fatherless males. Sad but true. Man, that is so true. Vince, curious, what was accomplished by the assault rifle ban by Clinton? I don't know. Good question. Trump, the GOP, and the NRA are exactly what they've heard from the mainstream media their whole lives. So predictable. That's Alan out of Spartanburg. Vince, the left and the media, I know that's redundant, are so predictably stupid. These angry kids from the Florida school are being celebrated all over the media. Yes, I saw this. Because a shooting happened at their school, they have the answers and instant credibility. But all the cliches they're spouting, that's where this goes. Blaming Trump, the GOP, the NRA, are exactly what they've heard from the mainstream media their whole lives. It's so predictable. They're basically feeding back what they've been hearing all these years. It's so sad. It really is. Spencer in Charlotte, good morning.
Morning. Bear with me a moment. I drove a 1963 Valiant years ago. It was all steel. A Colt 911 made in the early part of the 20th century is all steel. A car nowadays is a lot of plastic. A Glock is a lot of plastic. These AR-15 are a lot of plastic. You can see where this is going. They are modernizing the efficiency of the weight. They are modernizing the efficiency of carrying the thing. Colt introduced the AR-15 in 1963. Technology for semi-automatic has not changed in 100 years. It's just modernization of these things. Before you know it, all hunting rifles will look like an AR-15. So what do we do then? We ban everything?
That's where this is going. I mean, it's that people are going, and you understand this, Spencer, with every one of these events that occurs, you know, there's this steady drip of pressure. And that's ultimately where, unfortunately, we'll see some erosion continue to happen with our constitutional protection. Spencer, thanks a lot for your call. Let's quickly go, let's see, to Jack in Charlotte. Good morning.
Yeah, I got a quick solution for many of these mass shootings. Get rid of the gun-free zones. They take place where there is no one to fight back against the idiots with the guns. I've got a friend of mine, a teacher, that has a legitimate carry permit that has it in the desk drawer at school.
Hmm. And I don't have...
Let the guy come in. They ain't going to get their students. Deal with the consequences later.
If I'm there with you, Jack, and this is the kind of thing. In fact, we didn't mention this on this program today, but there's one state that's already made this decision. They want to allow teachers to be able to carry. Denise, we're going to give you the opportunity to be our last caller here out of Columbia. Good morning.
Good morning. I don't know if you can hear me, but I got so much static on here I can't hear you. So I'm just going to say that if Reagan said that this was not about was all about the individual and not about society, then I guess I'm going to have to argue with him, because I don't see any difference in people from a biological standpoint from 30, 40 years ago when kids went to school with guns and gun racks in the back of their pickup trucks and then shoot anybody. This is totally a societal breakdown. We've got everybody as a victim. That's what allows, I think, the boldness of shooting people with whom you don't really have any individual gripe. But you're a victim. You're never wrong. It's always them. Them, the anonymous them. In addition to which, you have disrespect for authority at every level. Parents are afraid of their kids calling social services. The police are afraid of lawsuits against the crime. I mean, it's a breakdown of respect, absolutely. A disregard for life. 50 million people killed through abortion, and nobody cares. It is societal. That people haven't changed in 50 years. Society has. Thanks, Vince. Hope you could hear any of this.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I appreciate your call. Always good to hear from you in Columbia there. Denise, on the text line, I mean, isn't this the tone of where so many people are, Vince? There's a great bumper sticker for you. Ban everything. See how that works for you, by the way. Vince, the government's out of control because we've allowed it. There should be a cap on how much each politician can spend on their election. Once TV got involved, radio coverage, rallies, etc., it was the beginning of the end. Boy, isn't that the truth. Yep. Vince, the privileged students of the elite high school mercilessly bullied this Nicholas Cruz kid. Now they want to take our guns. Oh, wow. That's quite an indictment, don't you think? Have yourselves a great day, folks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.